I want to discuss something. I want to talk about the biggest mistake that I think we make in chinuch. I know that those of you here more than likely don't have children yet. But what I'm about to tell you is not only relevant to people that have children and to mechanchim, primarily parents, but it also helps us to know ourselves. And if you haven't heard this point yet, so it's definitely worth thinking about it. I'm going to introduce it with a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech, and I want to show you how the parsha is really pointing this out to us. Shlomo HaMelech said, Matzreif lezav, v'kur matzreif lekesef, v'kur lezav, v'ish lefi mahalula, which loosely translated means, Matzreif lekesef is a person that is purifying the silver. What's a good English word for that? He's the one that makes the actual silver. He's the one that just forms it into whatever he wants to form it into, the blacksmith. But the matzreif is the person that produces it. You know, he makes it so hot that he's adding the materials and whatever he does to purify the silver and make it the grade that he wants it and whatever it's going to be used for. That's the matzreif. Kur lezahav is exactly the same thing for the person that's producing the gold. So whatever you call that guy that is producing the grade of a carat, you know, the grade of gold that he's making, so he's called a kur. V'ish, and a person, lefi mahalalo, which we probably would have translated it as, how do you translate mahalalo?
His way, his own. Well,
in the context, what's the point of this pasuk? Why is Solomon telling us, Matzreif lekesef kur lezahav and ish lefi mahalalo? What's he trying to say? This is in Mishlei, it's a proverb. What he's trying to say is if you want to know the quality of the silver, so how are you going to know? You could try to test it, but what's the easiest, what's the foolproof way to know? Who are you going to ask? The matzreif. And if you want to know about the gold, you could try biting it. You know, they do that in all the movies, right? If you want to know about gold, but what's the foolproof way to know? Ask the kur, the ish. And if you want to know about a person, lefi mahalalo. So how would you want to translate that? In the context, we're talking about if you want to know the value of this person. You want to know what he's about. You want to know his quality. So how do you discover that? You can't say ask his maker because most of us don't have that kind of access to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you know? Lefi mahalalo, says Shlomo HaMelech. According to his halal. How do you translate halal? Praise. Lefi mahalalo, according to his praises. There are two ways to understand that. What's the simple way to understand that? So how do you find out about a person? Practically, what would that mean to us then?
Ask
people that know him, and ask people that sing his praises. What do people say about this guy? His reputation. There's another way to understand it. Ish lefi mahalalo, man according to his praise. Even in English. What's another way to understand that?
Based on who he praises.
You got it. Based on who he praises. If you want to know the value, the quality of a person, discover what he praises. In Chai Sarah, today's Aliyah Hamishi, sorry, in Ravi, so we find that Eliezer has discovered that Rivka is the one that is destined for Yitzchak. And now he's going to go to the family. So what does it say? She runs and she tells her mother, and she has a brother named Lavan. And this is the first time we've heard about Lavan. And he runs out. So why did he run to this fellow? So Rashi adds that. Rashi's bothered by this. He had tremendous rizus? Maybe. Maybe he was a bal chesed. We just spoke yesterday about the chesed of Rivka. So maybe it was a zrizus. Maybe it was an alacrity of Lavan. No? You don't think so?
So we'll come to the Rashi, back to Rashi in 1 second. The next pasuk is Vayihi, and it was Kiroisis and Nezem, when he saw the nose ring. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but whatever. I guess they liked him back then. Vezatzmidim, bracelets. Ayidei Achoisa, on his sister's hands, meaning the ones that she didn't have before, right? Whoa. She's got nice new jewelry over here. Also, in addition, and when he heard the words of Rivka saying, this is what the man said to me. He went to the man, he's there with his camel still by the ayin, we'll call it a well. So if you're a betting man, you're just reading Chumash here. What, is there any indication from the Pesukim what made him run? The Pesuk is telling us, right? First it says that he ran. And then it says, if the Torah backtracks, and it says, and when he saw... He already ran. If he already ran, then he saw her after he started running. If you have it in front of you, look at the Pesukim. What does it say again? It says that she ran, and she tells her mother, and she has a brother named Lavan. And Pasuk Chav Tes, it says, Vayaratz Lavan Ela Ish. Lavan ran to the man, Hachutz Ela Ayin. So where are we now? The camera is on Lavan, he's running to Eliezer at the well. And then it says, Vayihi Kiroisis Anezem Asatzmina Madi Achoisai. And it was when he saw the jewelry on his sister, and when he heard what she said, so he went to the man and he's standing at the well. The Pesukim are out of order. No? Shouldn't it have said, and when he saw this and he heard that, he ran? That's how we would have written it, right? So you have to wonder why the Torah did that. But if I'll ask you, why did he run? So what seems to be the reason from the Pesukim?
He saw jewelry.
From whatever he saw. And the first thing listed, the two things the Pasuk says, that he heard what she said. We don't know exactly what she said. Whatever he told her. But the first thing listed is that when he saw all the jewelry. So Rashi writes, if you want to take a look at Chav Tes, Vayarat, he ran. Lamarat, why did he run? Vayamarat, and what's he running for? Vayahiki raises an ezem. The very next phrase, the next pasuk is that when he saw the jewelry, Omari said, Lavan said, Oshir huzeh, this guy's rich. And he put his eyes, he focused on money. He wanted, maybe they get some. Yeah? Guy's giving away free jewelry, right? Maybe I can get some. I'm the brother, you know? If Avraham Avinu got rich from his sister, maybe I can get rich from my sister too. And Eliezer's prepared for this, right? He's prepared. What are on all these camels? He apparently has all kinds of gifts, all kinds of things. And that's what he says to them. In Eliyah from today, it says that my master is very rich. He has all kinds of stuff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him son, bakar, kesef, zav, avadim, mushfachos, gmalim, v'chamerim. I mean, he's rich. And he gave all of this to Yitzchak, and according to Rashi, he has the shtar, right? He has this piece of paper, has this document that says it's all given to Yitzchak. Because that's a woman will be confident that she has nothing to worry about the rest of her life, right? She can marry a wealthy guy, she'll be able to raise children and not have to worry about anything the rest of her life. So is there anything negative about that, or that's all good? The Torah is telling us something very negative about Lavan, correct? That the reason that he's running is not because he's a Baal Chesed. It's not because there's a person at a well that needs help or needs a place to stay, which is what he told Rivka. Do you have a place for me to sleep, right? And do you have anything I can feed my camels? We've been on a long journey. So he's not, that's not what the focus is. Unless that's the second thing, you know, what she told me. That's the second thing, I don't know. But the first thing that gets his attention is that, oh, the guy's rich. I have a relative who, I'm not exactly sure how this happened, but he invited a non-Jewish fellow Maybe you've heard of him. His name, he goes by R.J. Kirk. Not to be confused with the captain. You heard of him? So you can look him up if you want. There's a Wikipedia page. And he's 175th on the Forbes 400 list. So he's a billionaire. So this relative of mine somehow was talking to him, I don't know, and invited him for Shabbos. So he's coming for Shabbos next week. You guys want to go? I have a question for you. Well, first I'll tell you my dilemma, and then I'll ask you my question. So my dilemma is, he told me, I'm expecting you and your family to come for Shabbos.
Where's he living?
Wherever. I'm expecting... Wait, where does the guy live?
Your relative.
Oh, my relative. Whatever. Okay, that I don't know what I'm talking about. But he said, I'm expecting you and your family to come for Shabbos. Because he... I'm not exactly sure what he's thinking. Because, you know, people say things, you don't always know if what they're saying is exactly what's going on or is what they think is going on or what they want to be going on. You don't always know what's really going on in a person's heart. I'm pretty sure that if this person had not been a billionaire, then he probably wouldn't be coming for Shabbos. If some non-Jewish fellow that works as a janitor expressed some interest in, I don't know, Torah or something. Something.
We had a janitor, I think, right, who was really interested in Judaism. He was gypsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need a latishba.
I think in Fairlawn, right? Didn't Rabbi Yudin have like a janitor that ended up converting and becoming, joining the shul? I think so. I think in Fairlawn. So that's not as positive of a story, but yeah, it does happen. But I have a question for you. If this happened to you, imagine that you get married, you have children, right? And your father-in-law says to you, there's a billionaire coming. He's not Jewish, but there's a billionaire that I invited to come for Shabbos. I wanted to inspire him. You're expected to come with your children. What are you thinking?
I see you send out.
I'm asking you a question.
So
he says that he just wants this fellow to understand the beauty of the chosen people and what the chosen people do on Shabbos. I'm not sure. Something like that. I assume that he's hoping that this will somehow result in money, somehow. But I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. What would you do? What are you thinking about? Like, what would... The first things first, let me ask you the following question. If you hear that there's somebody coming to your house, or somebody you're going to meet, or somebody that's in front of you, I'm introducing you to someone right now, and I add the description that the fellow is 175th on the Fortune 400 of Forbes. Does that change the way that you view this person? Does it change the esteem with which you hold the person? And is that a positive or is that a negative? So, I'm going to be honest with you because you're my friends and Talmidim. I'm terrified of this event. I think I have to go. And I'm going to sit down with Rav Kahn and discuss it with him, Ritz Hashem. But there are two things that really bother me that maybe are at the same point. One of them, they both really are on the same point. The point is, as I began this year today, Shlomo Melech tells us, Matzreif lekesef kur lezaha v'ish lefi mahalalo. That if you want to know the value of silver, you go to the person that makes it. You want to know the value of gold, you go to the person that makes it. You want to know the value of a person, find out what he praises. Not his praise from other people, what he praises. And this is the biggest mistake we make in Chinuch. Because if we send our children to Jewish schools, and we don't behave. We don't express. We don't show that we value what the yeshiva values, then the kids understand that right away. Ish lefi mahalalo. What do we praise to our children? Do we say, there's a really, really, he's a billionaire. He's coming for Shabbos. You guys gotta come. What message does that send? That's a very important value to me. And that this is what's important in the world, and this is what's important in life. That's the message being sent. On top of that the fellow's not even Jewish, so the Shabbos is going to be a Shabbos of being a tiger in a cage in a zoo. I want you to come sing for him. I want you to come say Divrei Torah for him so he can see, he can watch. In other words, if you're being Makari of someone, a Jew, you'll be Makari of a Jew. He's not coming to see your Shabbos. He's coming to be part of your Shabbos. You want him to be in your Shabbos. So you're going to say, you might not know the Zemiris, but we're going to sing with you, and your soul is going to be elevated. When you bring a non-Jewish guy that may or may not be Jewish, and he didn't say he wants to convert. He's just taking, this is interesting. So it's a performance. I think it's the biggest mistake we make in chinuch. If you want to be able to raise children with the proper values, so it means that you have to have the proper values, and the proper values, I mean, that's obvious, but the proper values have to be expressed. They have to be expressed how? Lefima halalo, in what you praise. When the rav comes, because, I don't know, he's passing by and he's going to stop by to get a drink and say hi. The rav of the shul, the rav of the community, whatever it is, right? When he gets the royal treatment, so the children see, wow, I see that the Rav gets covered. But if the Rav would come to the door and be like, hi, oh, Rabbi, you need a bottle of water? 175 and a Fortune 400. Oh, you guys gotta come. You guys gotta come. It's gonna be big Shabbos. Big Shabbos. Big Shabbos. So then who's more mechubad? The rich guy or the Rav? You can say whatever you want. You can send your kids to whatever school you want. But at the end of the day, you are making a definitive statement that the value that I place on this rich guy is way more than I place on any rabbi. And that is a recipe for absolute disaster in chinuch. But we need to know ourselves. If we hear that the person's a massive Talmud Chacham, so how much weight do we give that? And how much weight do we give the person's 175? Which one do we feel in our heart is deserving of greater covenant? Which one do we have the greater awe for? You know, and that's an important thing to consider, and then to think about how we relate, how we react, how we respond. So I don't know if I'm successful, but I certainly try to express to my children, oh, you see that? You see him crossing the street? That's Rav Tversky. He's awesome, a massive Talmud Chacham. It's a big tzaddik. So if I see him, I point it out because I'm excited to see him. As a celebrity. He's a celebrity walking with his children to school. He's going back to yeshiva now. Wow. There's a guy coming for Shabbos. He's a rich guy. We gotta go because whatever. We don't want to insult your relative. And it's important to him, so we may have to go. But it's not a value. We're not going because the guy's rich. We're not going because he's a rich guy. We're going because we don't want, you know, whatever. This is important to your fill in the blank, you know, your relative. What do you want to say?
Isn't it like against halacha for a non-Jew to keep Shabbos?
No, he's not going to keep Shabbos. In fact, he's going to drive there.
Oh, yeah. And like introducing it to him and stuff, it's not like.
So you're not allowed to teach Goyim Torah. Certain things that are, you know, they can read on their own, you know, Torah Shabbos Sav. So it could be that's fine. Anything has to be Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach is a great idea. But certainly, you shouldn't be opening up a Gemara and, come on, let's learn some Shas together, you know, that you can't do. But he's not going to keep Shabbos. He's not, certainly not keeping Shabbos. In fact, originally he was supposed to stay at the house, but his, I forgot the lashon that was used when it was presented to me, his people, whatever you call it, his security force decided that he should stay at a hotel, you know, for security reasons. Not sure what that means, but... security reasons. Anyway, but that's what's going on here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in no uncertain terms saying, Lavan? Lavan, you want to know about Lavan? It could be that he had secondary considerations over here. It's true. But you know why he ran? You know why Lavan ran? Lavan ran because he heard that the guy was a billionaire. So he ran. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is criticizing Lavan here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that this guy, Ish Lefi Mahalalo, you want to know about him? I'll introduce him to you. This guy, he likes money. That's not positive. The whole world, if you'll ask anyone in the world, right? I think it's safe to say, what do you want out of life? They will tell you, I want to be happy. And that's totally understandable. Everyone wants to be happy. But the shaila is, how do you get it? So I asked my kinderlach in the car this morning. I said, guys, you get a present, you get something, right? You're happy, right? They say, yeah. I said, how long? So we had an interesting discussion about how long a person's happy when he gets a present. So they said, well, I was happy for a month when I got my, this is a guest that was in our car, we were driving, when I got my hoverboard. My kids don't have hoverboards. But he had a hoverboard, so he got a hoverboard, so he said I was happy like a month. Okay, very good. And did you get something less? Well, I'm happy whenever, you know, one of my boys, you know, admitted, you know, he's happy until I have to do homework. But their point was, but that's not a fair statement, because I'm happy whenever I look at it. Like, I'm happy right now, even when I think about it, that I have it. Like, it makes me happy. Fair enough. Is there something called a consistency of happiness? In other words, if our happiness derives from getting something we didn't have before, so we talked about this too, and they said, really, there's an excitement in the anticipation. If I know that when I finish, you know, if I do homework well, or I go, I get good grades, whatever it is, and I do a certain thing for a month, whatever it is that my parents, the deal they made with me, so I'm excited the whole time, and there's a certain happiness, excitement. So I'm happy, excited the whole time until I get it. But after I get it, I'm not as happy as I was, you know, the moment before I got it. Right? That's what one of them said. Because when you get it, the first moment is the most exciting. So the question's like this. If our happiness is determined by getting a thing, by getting something, right? So then what's the way to happiness? Getting rich, right? Because the richer you are, the more things you can buy. But the problem we all recognize in that is that getting things does make us happy for a little while, but it's not a constant state of happiness. It's just a happiness when I'm engaged with the item that I enjoy playing with or using or whatever. But it doesn't make me happy the rest of the day because I'm not involved with it. I'm doing other things. I'm not happy when I'm doing other things because I want to be doing that. And the shaila is there any way to be happy all day? And the answer, of course, is, well, what do you mean? I mean, there's always going to be frustrations. There's always going to be the challenges of life. It's hard to be happy doing those things. But is there an overarching hashkafa that can actually allow us to be happy even when we're studying for midterms? No matter what happens in life? And the answer is, of course there is, right? Because if a person is living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you put in front of me, how shall I engage it? Then he knows that his response to the situation he's in, he's working out. He's in the gym working out. Right, David? Everyone enjoys being in the gym working out. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's simcha. What do you mean? But you look like you're in pain. The answer is, I know I'm growing. I know I'm building muscle. See, even though it's a painful experience, I'm actually enjoying it. So that's where we're headed. That's what we want. It's not an easy thing to accomplish when you stretch the imagination. Maybe nobody gets there. But the simcha sachayim that's possible is a simcha where we're engaging life because we're facing the challenges that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. You with me, right? That's simcha. Simcha is being able to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put this challenge in front of me and I asked a shaila. And I know that this is the way he wants me to deal with it. And then we experience tremendous simcha because I know I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. But it means that we can be lifting weights. We can be challenged. We can be in pain and besimcha. Because we're doing what we know is the right thing to do. And we're happy doing the right thing. And that's real simcha. It's not about having money to be able to get another thing.
That's not simcha. And that's what Chazal ultimately say in Pirkei Yo. It says, "Hu ashir." You want to know what rich means? Hasameach bechalkoi, a person who's happy with what he has. So everybody has heard that a million times. And the question is, I mean, seriously, come on. That's only because these rabbis only had a puny salary, you know, and they were learned in Kollel. But if they had actually been billionaires, they'd know that a rich person is a person who has lots of money. Why did Chazal say, Hasameach bechalkoi, is happy with what he has? Do you have a real pshat in this? Jeremy, you have a real pshat in this? What, but that Chazal, right? In that Mishnah, why are they saying the Ezehu Asher, who's rich? The person who's happy with what he has.
Right.
How is that true? It's not true, right?
I mean, it depends on the person what he has.
Chazal are saying it's a definition. And the question is, how is that true? So tell the answer. I have the answer. I know the answer. Simple. A rich person is rich because he has everything. He doesn't need anything, right? He's rich. If a person needs, what do we call him? Poor. Because he needs.
Yeah, but that one needs, no one's ever satisfied.
That's the point. You hear? That's exactly the vort. The vort is that when a person is desperate, he needs, so he's poor. He doesn't have what he needs. If a person has everything he needs, he's rich. But whoever has everything they need. The answer is, well, if he's looking to make more money because he wants more stuff or more kavod or whatever he wants, then he's poor. Because he'll never have what he needs. But if a person is sameach b'chalka, if a person can look at what he has and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have given me everything I need. What do I need more for? I don't need any more. I have a wife, I have children, I have a house, I have a car. I have challenges in my life, of course. That's called growing. Challenges are how we grow. That's why we're alive, to face challenges. We're created to struggle. That's what it's for. But I don't need more money. I have all the money. I have everything I need. So that person, Taki, is actually rich because he has everything he needs. That's the definition of rich. That's the pshat, right? No? You don't feel it?
No, it's an acceptable
one. I think that's the pshat. The Chazal are saying that if a person needs, he's poor. So that's supposed to be our perspective. That's the criticism of Lavan, and that's the challenge of the world we live in the United States of America, and probably most of the world today, is that the world thinks that happiness means stuff. In order to be happy, you gotta have lots of stuff. In order to have lots of stuff, you gotta have money. In order to have money, you gotta be rich. So the whole world is chasing after money to be happy by getting stuff. And then they get stuff, and they realize they're only happy as long as they're thinking about the stuff or playing with the stuff. But the rest of their life, they're miserable because they're facing all these challenges. And Chazal are telling us, okay, you can be rich, it's fine. Rich means sameach b'chalkai. What does it mean, sameach b'chalkai? It means what I was saying before. That we look at our lives and we say to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, these are my challenges, this is what you've given me, this is my, not my fate, but my destiny. Fate is a negative thing, is what has to be. But destiny means you take hold of it. That's what the Rav used to say. You grab hold of it and you say, this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. This is what he's given me. This is my life. Not to say, oi, my life. But yes, this is my life. This is how I'm going to reach my potential. And that's the Sameach B'chalkoi. And if a person is Sameach B'chalkoi, then he really is rich. And ultimately, even though that's not the point of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, he will be happy. Because he's alive. And he's living a life where he knows that this is, he's doing the right thing. He's asking shailas and he's figuring out, how does a Kadosh Baruch want me to address this situation? And that person will be very rich and that person will be very happy. And that is the message of Lavan in today's Aliyah.